Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Night. This is another episode of Cage Zombies Radio on the eve of 4th of July. I guess some people around this neighborhood think it's already the 4th of July. I hear fireworks going off around us, but maybe, just maybe, that is the neighbor celebrating another phenomenal episode of Cage Zombies Radio, where we are going to be talking a lot of World Series of Fighting tonight. And with me is not Spencer Kirksey. Spencer's taking the week off. He's out with his girlfriend and family tonight with some holiday celebration. So filling in is the third member of our team, our always go-to backup, the always dependable Miss Kari Richardson.
Hey, I'm so excited to be back. How are you doing tonight?
Doing phenomenal. I'm excited. I'm ready for a great show tonight. B, I'm ready for a great weekend of MMA where I'll be live at World Series of Fighting 11. And C, I'm also ready for bed. But first things first, that's going to be a phenomenal episode of Cage Zombies Radio where we will be featuring three fighters fighting on the World Series of Fighting 11 fight card, as well as NBC commentator and all-around MMA great, Mr. Joey Varner. And then we'll also be talking with Jason Arnett out of Breakthrough MMA, located in Daytona Beach, Florida. They're pretty much the premier MMA promotion of the East Coast of Florida, and Jason's been doing a lot of help around town with the World Series of Fighting, doing some regional promotion and doing some local promoting and stuff. And so they've really been benefiting a lot from his help. And so he's going to talk with us a little bit tonight about what we can expect to see Saturday, what the fans can expect to see on TV, and what the fans in attendance can expect to see, hoping to see a nice sold-out crowd at the very luxurious and beautiful Ocean Center, which sits right in the heart of Daytona Beach, Florida, which is by far one of the most beautiful beaches in all of the United States of America. So before we get rolling on that, the fighters we'll be speaking to tonight, we'll be talking with Dustin Holyko, local out of Daytona, fighting against Neiman Gracie there on the prelims. We're going to talk with Mohamed Mo Muscle DeReese. He's been with us before, one of the highest-ranked and greatest amateur fighters in Florida's history. Went pro at Fight Time, I believe, Fight Time 18. Fight Time 18, got a win, and got a call, just a real short-notice call within the last week or so. Got the opportunity to step up and fight on World Series of Fighting 11. He's taking on Rashawn Spencer. So we'll talk with Mo Muscle. And then we'll be talking with the World Series of Fighting lightweight champion, Mr. Main Event himself. That's Justin Gaethje. We'll be talking with him after a little while. And then we'll close the night out with Jason Arnett and Joey Varner talking a little bit about the other side of it, from the outside of the cage. So it's going to be a very full night, very exciting. We got a lot to do, a lot going on. I'm excited. And before we get rolling, I'm going to give some shout-outs to our sponsors because, well, honestly, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So our sponsors, we got a lot of great sponsors. BrawlBase.com, BalletAutoAuction.com, AOLMMA.com, CrossRoaderClothing.com, GameChangerClothing.com, All Out Fight Shop, Persist Headwear, Jax Media Canada, Pro-Am Belts for the best belts anywhere on the planet, and, of course, the also-wonderful Intimidation Clothing. Impose your will at IntimidationClothing.com. We have a phenomenal team of sponsors, and we want to thank each and every one of them. Now, real quick, before we get rolling tonight, I'm going to give a little bit of a breakdown of the World Class Fight League 9 fight card that took place last Saturday at the Hilton Doubletree in Tampa, Florida, down there at West Shore on Cypress. Phenomenal night of fights. And I, of course, was there, was cage side watching friends and fighters that I'm a fan of, and just a lot of great amateurs step in the cage, go to war. Five title fights at World Class Fight League 9 Saturday. The main event, Martin Vergara defends his 185-pound title over Adriel Fialho with a KO in the first round. In the main event, Charlie Russo actually upsets Tyler Hooks and wins the 170-pound title. Tyler Hooks had been the 170-pound champ. That was another KO in the first round. It was Tyler's first fight back in close to a year. It was, you know, came out looking good, and just Charlie Russo landed a couple good shots and took Tyler Hooks down, and I mean, that was all she wrote. The 135-pound title, Troy Worthen, man. Troy Worthen has always showed the great display of his wrestling in the past. This was the first fight where we really got to see the phenomenal depth of his striking, to which he gets a first-round TKO victory over Patrick Corrigan. 155-pound title fight with Tony Murderman Davis versus Blake Smith. Blake Smith, my boy, wins versus TKO in the first round. Blake's a great dude. I've had the chance to roll and train with him down at World Class Martial Arts in Tampa. Just an awesome dude. And the 125-pound title fight, Casey Rivera versus Matt Rogers. Casey Rivera actually stepped in on this fight on about a two-day notice. Matt Rogers' original opponent had some sort of an issue with the blood work, wasn't able to go. Rivera, on about a two-day notice, steps in, gets the armbar victory in the first round. Great job by Casey Rivera out of Tigers World Tampa. Just overall, great night of fights. Yarlin Gonzalez, Robin Wissman. Just another phenomenal fight from Robin Caboose Wissman. This is her third fight. She's 3-0 now. First two fights coming by way of standing TKO. This one we get to kind of see an all-around version of Robin, where we got to see finally see some of her jiu-jitsu. She comes out of Gracie Tampa West, which is a major jiu-jitsu school, but we have yet to really see much of her jiu-jitsu because she's just destroyed both of her opponents standing up. This time around, we got to see a little bit of that. Back to the feet, the ladies spent a lot of time standing up and just did some great work, and Robin comes away with a unanimous decision victory to go to 3-0. And then I want to make special mention to Joe Zoak. Debut fighter, the first fight of the night, Joe Zoak versus Irvin Garcia. Zoak wins the unanimous decision. Joe Zoak and I started training together at Gator MMA around the same time. He's a good dude and a guy that went out, and I'm just very proud of for finally getting out there, making his debut, and he looked great. Looked like a pro in what was his first ever fight. He had a Muay Thai fight, but this was his first MMA fight. Just very happy for Joe. Did a great job and just looked great out there in the cage. So it was cool to see that, knowing that, you know, somebody that, when we started training together, you know, we were always rolling together because we were the new guys, and just love to see the success that he's already been able to have and that he's already been able to step in that cage and pursue a dream. So congratulations, Joe, and I look forward to seeing more great things from him. World Class Fight League 10 is going to be early September, so stay tuned in MMA Madhouse for that information. So that's about it for that. We're going to get rolling here real shortly with Dustin Holyko. Dustin Holyko is a 2-0 fighter out of Daytona Beach, Florida, fights for, I believe he fights out of the Daytona Armory Daytona, something like that. I could be wrong, but we're going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and give Dustin a call, and then we'll get rolling with Dustin.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio 10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats,
bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
All right, we are back, and we are live with Dustin Holyko fighting out of Daytona Beach, Florida. Dustin's fighting this weekend, World Series of Fighting 11. Dustin, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
All right, I want to start by saying you don't know what I'm about to say, but I was about a foot away from you as you pounded on Jafar Ford at RFC 29, and I just thought, you know, you guys went back and forth for a minute or two. If I remember correctly, you were both bloody. He was really bloody. And you was such a great battle that you ended up getting a first-round TKO with about 5 seconds left. And I just kind of I sat there sprayed with blood going, wow, what an awesome finish and what an awesome young fighter.
Yeah, that was a good one, yeah. He's a great athlete, too. I don't know whose blood. I know he had some of mine, but I think, yeah, we were swapping blood there. But, yeah, it was a hell of a fight. But, yeah, man, I don't know. It really was a test of my heart, and, you know, I'm glad I pulled through.
Yeah,
a good one,
absolutely,
though.
Man. Yeah, absolutely, man. It was a brawl for that first round, and you came out on top there. And you kind of, you know, what was it like moving forward now? What was it like getting that call for that opportunity to fight at World Series of Fighting in what's your hometown, you know, in front of your friends and family?
Oh, I couldn't ask for a better opportunity. It was just, yeah, I turned down a lot of last-minute fights just because, it's tough to take them. But fighting a Gracie, fighting for the World Series of Fighting, I mean, it's just a whole other level than I've ever, you know, fought on. So, yeah, it's amazing, especially being in my hometown. I mean, I got so many friends come to support me. It's pretty awesome.
Now, when you got the call, what was your initial thought? Because as you said, you know, you've turned down a few last-minute fights, you know, but, you know, you said earlier on Facebook earlier this week something like, that, you know, you had to turn down some other ones, but when somebody like the World Series of Fighting calls, you just can't turn that down. So what was your initial thought when you got that call?
Oh, it was like, there was no doubt in my mind I was taking it. I was, you know, I was just said, shit, I got to get to the gym. You know, I kind of dropped what I was doing, and got to the gym. I mean, instantly, I was just getting off work, so it worked out perfect. But, yeah, there's no way I could have turned that down, man. It was just... And then fighting on top of that, fighting the last name Gracie, it was like, man, I watched Hoist come through and beat everybody in the first Ultimate Fighter's way back. So I was like, man, what a opportunity! It's a dream. It's a dream come true.
You say that it's a dream come true, but is there a lot of pressure? Like you said, you know, you are taking it on short notice, and you are fighting a Gracie on top of that. Does that give you more determination, or does it make you a little antsy about it?
My nerves, honestly, I get nervous no matter who I'm fighting. It's not really, because I've rolled with black belts. I've fought really, you know, I've trained with some of the best guys in the world. My trainer's world-class black belt, Rich Kronkleton, you know, he's a UFC veteran. So I've trained with the top guys, but so it doesn't make me antsy, but I get nervous. It doesn't matter if I'm fighting a guy that's 0-0, you know, I get nervous either way going into the cage.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback off of what she asked is like, I was going to kind of ask the same thing. Where does it matter who you're fighting? You know, whether it's even if it was Hoist Gracie across you in the cage, if it was Chuck Liddell, or if it was Billy Bob from around the corner, do you kind of just go in there thinking about everybody on the same level in order to kind of keep your game focused?
No, because it all, like a high, like a guy like a Gracie, you know, he's a high level black belt, you know, his jiu-jitsu is amazing. So my first goal in the gym is to sprawl and brawl, keep him off me, keep the fight on my feet. When I'm going to fight a guy like Chuck Liddell, I might be changing my game plan, like practicing a lot of shooting in case you get caught by one. A guy like Jafar that you've seen, I knew he had really good stand up. So I practiced all takedowns for a good 6 to 8 weeks, just takedowns, every fight training we had. I sparred a lot still, but, I was more training takedowns than anything. So for a guy like that, but a guy like Hoist or Neiman Gracie that I'm fighting, a lot of takedown defense. So, yeah, it switches it up depending on who you're going to – what kind of style guy you got.
Right. So that so have you put more emphasis into the training based on knowing that you're going against a high-ranked jiu-jitsu athlete?
Oh, yes. Yeah, big time. Big time take down defense was a big time, you know, thing. Of course, I've always trained hard in jiu-jitsu. There's nothing you could do in 2 weeks. There's nothing I could have done in 8 weeks like I normally have with my training camps to prepare
right.
for a black belt. There's just no way. I mean, this guy's probably been rolling since he was a real young kid. So, but take down the fence, you know, if I could keep it off the ground, fantastic. So I've been training a lot of that and a lot of counters off the takedown defense, you know, off the clinch work. So when we break out of the clinch, working on my quick strikes and things that he's probably not as good at, you know, as he is definitely going to be better on the ground than he is in that area. So trying to attack his weak points.
Do you think that you have any type of advantage because you've done some background in kickboxing as well as some grappling bouts, you know, in your AMI fight?
Yeah, my my amateur kick tournaments are jiu-jitsu tournaments are great, but my my amateur kickboxing matches have definitely developed me into the fighter I am today. I've had the edge on a lot of guys. I've got like I think 13 amateur kickboxing matches, and I've fought some really good guys in the amateur rankings. And yeah, it's definitely given me a step above a lot of guys, even in mixed martial arts. It's just a brutal sport. And yeah, it's definitely developed me into one of the better guys today in the MMA world.
Do you plan on to continue, doing the kickboxing or grappling, whatever type bouts?
I've kind of switched. You know, I'll always do jiu-jitsu tournaments. The Muay Thai, now that I've turned pro, I can't do amateur Muay Thai. And to be honest, now that I've switched to MMA, I kind of like it a little more than the Muay Thai. The Muay Thai is a really brutal sport. And, again, referring back to a guy like Jafar Forts, when I fought him and he caught me with some really devastating blows in a Muay Thai match, I probably would have been in a lot of trouble. Well, in the MMA world, I was able to shoot in, go for the takedown, so which saved me. So there's a lot more you could do in the MMA. I kind of like it a little more. More my style, more like a street fight, which you know I like to kind of keep it like that. So
now coming into this fight, it's been since that fight at RFC 29 that you fought last, and you've had a couple fights here or there that haven't worked out. Now, what has been kind of the cause for such long periods in between your pro fights?
My first one, I had a few injuries afterwards, and I run a tree business in Daytona, and I'm extremely busy with that. So I've had a lot going on. I love to surf, so it's just a lot of things caught my attention. Then when I fought Jafar, I had two other fights lined up after that. Well, due to the injuries, they gave me a 60-day suspension. Then I had a fight May 9th in Pensacola scheduled, and my opponent two weeks before dislocated his shoulder. Yeah, island fight. So that he dislocated his shoulder 2 weeks before. They couldn't find me a last-minute opponent. So then the summertime came. I started working again. So, you know, then I got this call. So it's just I got a lot going on. I got two kids, you know, a girlfriend and beautiful house. I got a lot going on. So, and I'm here in Daytona with some of the best waves in the world, you know, year round. So it's kind of hard to stay in the gym all the time.
You're taking in every aspect of life possible, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. I love fighting. It's not, you know, my whole life, but I love it. It's more of a job to me now that I've turned pro and seen the politics in it. So it's more of a job, but, yeah, there's other, you know, a lot of other things going on that I like. So it's now I'm getting a little better and getting in the money's getting a little better that I can probably concentrate a little more on it, you know, especially if I come off with a big win from this one. I might be turning this into my full-time job and climbing trees a little less.
Well, going back to the fact that you love to serve, do you think that helps your body? As far as being prepared, you know, it seems like to paddle out, I've heard you had to have great upper body strength, stabilizing your core and everything. Does that help you in any way?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, especially on a rough day, you know, when it's hard to paddle out, you're just, and it's a fun cardio. So it's something you can have fun. And sometimes you stop and realize when you're surfing, because you catch a wave and you want to paddle back out and get the next one real fast. You stop for a second. You're like, man, my heart rate's jacked up. And, yeah, your shoulders burn. It's definitely one of the hardest things I've done. And, you know, we just had a storm pass. I wasn't able to go out because of the fight. But in the storms, it's rough. And that's usually when I'm out every day is when these hurricanes come, I'll be out there. So that's definitely when you got to be in shape. So, yeah, no, it definitely helps big time. And it helps the balance, everything. It's good for your joints, you know, swimming. So, yeah, it's a great thing.
You know, you intrigued me with your comment about the politics that you've kind of learned about since going pro. And I've been with this website MMA Madhouse for a little over 2 years, and in that time, covering all these events in Florida, especially the pro events, it's very easy to take notice to the politics, especially with the boxing commission. What have you found that you have not liked about the politics that are involved with the boxing commission and the way they handle pro MMA?
Nothing really too much that I haven't, you know, had a liking to, but it's just there's a lot more involved than, you know, once the money gets involved, there's a lot more into it than there
right.
is, you know, an amateur, it was more for fun. But, yeah, you know, the commission, I've heard, you know, here I try not to get involved too much in that kind of stuff.
I hear you.
But I just
you.
Show up, fight, get my paycheck, and keep it moving.
And go surfing.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right on, man. Well, listen, dude, I want to thank you for joining us, man. You know, one last thing is, you know, when it comes down to it, when you and Neiman step in the cage doors are locked, what do you expect to see?
I'm thinking he's going to shoot in. You know, he's going to be looking for the takedown. I mean, I would love for him to come out and try to punch me in the face, because I'll take a punch in the face any day than being on the ground with a Gracie, but, you know, I'm prepared either way. So hopefully, the plan works that he's going to come in and try to take me down. I'd be stoked if he came out swinging with me. It would be a great night for me. But I'm pretty sure he's going to be looking for that takedown, and I'm going to be looking for the opposite. So should be
right
a good
on,
one.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you joining us. I'm glad we were able to work out a time to get you on, because I, you know, wanted to get you on because of the Daytona home aspect, and I think it's really cool that you got such a good opportunity at an early point in your career, man. Before we let you go, do you have any sponsors you'd like to give shout-outs to, and then where people can find you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, my Dustin Holyko, Holyko. You can check me out on Facebook. I just want to give a shout-out to my manager, Lenny Ross, my trainers, Mike Vasquez, Rich Kunkleton, everybody at the Armory. That's helped me get to this spot. And Dr. Obide, he's one of my good sponsors. And he's over there at the Florida Hospital here in Daytona. And, just thanks a lot to all my fans. Everybody's supporting me, showing me giving me a lot of ticket sales. And I'm stoked. And hopefully I could get over there and see y'all in Tampa in November for the RFC show. Love to be there. Put on another good show for y'all.
Right on, man. Listen, I will come find you Saturday, introduce myself, and look forward to seeing a great fight from you and Neiman.
Yes, sir. I'll do my best. I promise you that.
All right, Dustin. You have yourself a great night, man.
All right. Thank you so much.
Not a problem, man. That's Dustin Holyko, the Daytona Beach native. You heard it, man. He takes in the full aspect of what Daytona Beach life is like, out there tearing people's faces off in the cage, working hard, going out surfing, man. He is just sounds like an all-around pretty awesome dude, you know. And like as I mentioned, when the cage doors locks, he's all about business, and he does a great job. You know, I've seen it personally. I've left his last fight with his blood on my laptop case. So I know the guy fights. I know the guy comes to put on a great show. So that's Dustin Holyko, and again fighting Neiman Gracie on the prelims for World Series of Fighting 11 this Saturday. Looking like, according to Wikipedia, looking like it's going to be the second fight in. Now, these fights are starting at about 2 p.m. In the afternoon. The prelims and the main card will start at 4. A little bit of an odd timing, but I'm guessing they probably just don't want to – they're trying to avoid the competing with UFC fights, and I can respect that, you know. Give the fans an opportunity to watch everything. It's going to be a great night, so I would really – urge fans to not sit around waiting for the UFC to come on. You know, DVR or record, you know, watch live, whatever it is. Find a way to watch World Series of Fighting. It's going to be a great night of fights, or a great afternoon of fights, I should say. Before we jump in with Justin Gaethje here in a few minutes, we're going to take a quick break, play a short song, and then we shall be back. I'll be back, or we'll be back. Okay.
Fight.
Wrap up with Dustin Holyko, seeing, you know, with a younger guy on the card, making his first major promotion fight. You know, he's fought twice with the RFC. Now he's moving, he's going to fight, you know, this World Series of Fighting card. We're going to be moving in here in the next couple minutes to somebody who is actually becoming quite the name in MMA. You know, very quickly went from being just a regional guy, a local guy, to being catapulted into onto a major platform with a major promotion and going right in and in just his fourth fight there, cleaning through the lightweight division and taking the lightweight championship. So, and that's going to be Justin Gaethje. You know, Gaethje in a short time, in a young career, only 25 years old, has gone 11-0 as a pro, 7-0 as an amateur, and has yet to have anybody find a way to defeat this man. So, and yet he's going to be stepping in the cage against somebody who's in the exact same position, and that's Nick Newell, who himself is 11-0 in his MMA career and has never been defeated. People say, you know, people point out, they always jump to the Nick Newell has one arm thing, like, look at this guy, he's got this handicap and all this, but he's shown time and time again that he is in no way has a handicap. He is just as talented, just as legit as every other fighter out there. He has yet to be finished. He has yet to lose, I should say, and has never even been taken to. Well, no, I'm sorry. One majority decision. I overlooked it. So one decision in his career. All finishes. Other than that, this is going to be a top fight. This is probably the World Series of Fighting's best fight to date. having 11-0 Nick Newell versus 11-0 Justin Gaethje, and it's just going to be an insane fight. And they, right in the main event, you just can't get any better than that. They couldn't have done any better setting this card up and where they put this fight, man. Just phenomenal. It's going to be a great fight. I myself, before we get on the air with Justin, I myself am picking Gaethje. I'm not going to pick a round, but I do think Gaethje wins by, I'm going to go TKO. Yeah, I'm going to go TKO. And I'm going to say, well, you know what, I'll say a round. To be safe, I think I'm going to say Gaethje TKO second round. So, you have a pick, Kari?
I was going to say Gaethje second round knockout.
Oh, look at that. She's going full KO. Not even she's not even buttering it up. Just straight full KO. I like it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this with the world, you know, people talk about the World Series of Fighting kind of like yeah, the average MMA fans, they really just are so focused on the UFC, and they don't think anything outside of the UFC exists, nor do they think that, you know, if it's not Zuffa, then it's nothing to even pay attention to. But in all honesty, man, the World Series of Fighting in such a short time has built such a huge persona, signed so many big names, and not just what people refer to as UFC cast-offs, but they've signed these fighters that quote-unquote the UFC had casted off, and yet helped relaunch and catapult their careers. You know, look at Rumble Johnson, look at Andre Arlovsky, who both found success in the World Series of Fighting against top opponents, beat them, and have been given new life and been re-signed. You know, of course, the UFC goes and picks them right back up. But the World Series of Fighting has made a name for themselves in a great way here, and just into their coming into their 11th event, has put together great talent on pretty much every fight card, has had just top-notch stuff on it, and they just continue to keep rolling. The one thing I think about them is that they really, you know, them and Bellator, they move it around and they don't prejudice. The UFC is very biased about coming to Florida. Whatever the reasons are, it could be to have to do with the boxing commission. Whatever the reasons are, they just have been very biased about coming to Florida. They don't do it often. And when they do, they don't even really put forth their best stuff. They kind of give mid-level, mid-range fight cards. Whereas Bellator, World Series of Fighting, XFC, when those places go around, they move around wherever they're going. They're putting the best that they have on each fight card if they can. You know, obviously you have to take into account fighters being injured. Stuff like that takes place. You can't help it. That's going to happen no matter who the promotion is or no matter where it's taking place. But the fact is the World Series of Fighting has put together yet another great fight card being done in Florida. There was two, World Series of Fighting 6 and 8 both took place in Miami, and they're coming up north with 11 for Daytona, which I like. It's a much easier drive for me rather than trying to drive down to Miami, but... it shows to me the class, and it shows the committed nature of the World Series of Fighting to be giving the fans everywhere they go top-notch shows. And I think we're going to see that again this Saturday with Gaethje and Newell, John Fitch, Dennis Hallman, Melvin Gillard on the fight card, Pablo Alfonso versus Cody Bellinger. And of course, you know, you can't overlook these prelims, man. These prelims, I think, are really what fill the seats, because these are local guys most of the time. You know, you got Mo DeReese fighting out of Orlando, you got Dustin Holyfield fighting out of Daytona, you got Jose Cacareas fighting out of, I believe, Miami. I think he comes out of MMA Masters, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just going to be an all-around just an awesome card and an awesome event for the local Daytona fans, which have already been accustomed to great MMA coming from Breakthrough MMA there, the local amateur promotion that comes out of Daytona Beach and has been doing a great job for 12 events now, going into their third event, which will be this coming August, next month, about the mid of the month, I think August 16th. So the fans of Daytona know good MMA. They've been seeing it for a while, and they're going to get to see that in more of a pro setting come this Saturday. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead, get behind the scenes, get Justin on the line, and we'll get rolling with the World Series of Fighting's lightweight champion. So give me uno momento. I will be back, and we'll get rolling.
Pro-Am championship belt who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am championship belts, proambelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am championship belts.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Right on, I'm back, and we are now live with the World Series of Fighting lightweight champion, Justin Gaethje. Justin, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Doing phenomenal. I want to thank you for coming back on the show. We had you here a couple months back, and here we are, week of the fight, 2 days out. How are you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to go.
How was the trip over here to Daytona? I know you come a long way. Was the flight good? Did you get rested in? And what's the view like?
Oh man, dude, the view's amazing. I'm here at the Daytona Hilton with my, beachfront up in the 12th floor, man. It's awesome. And then we got here good. There was no problems. I know some guys have been having problems getting in, but my weight's good. I think I got here yesterday. I weighed 162, and I haven't missed a meal yet. I've been drinking Gatorade, coconut water, a couple muscle milks, and I'm sitting about 159 right now.
Right on, man. Now coming into like that last time, the last little time here before, you got about, maybe about 18 hours or so before weigh-ins. What are the final preparations you do to make sure that when you step on that scale, you're at 155?
It's, like I said, I've done all my hard work in the gym, man. I've cut weight before in wrestling, and it was the most, the horrible thing I've done. It messed with my head. I went to every practice to lose weight, never to get better. So like I said, I haven't missed a meal this whole camp, and I'm sitting at 159 right now. I went golfing today. I worked out for I think 5 minutes to get a pump on before my photo shoot, but I did my work in the gym, and I'm ready. I was ready when I got here.
Now, what kind of pressure comes with, for one, you have a spotless record, but you're going against somebody else that does as well. You have a combined record between the two of you, I think, of 22-0. What kind of pressure comes with that, what you're actually putting on the line, not only your perfect record, but the title as well?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't every fight's been, other than the title, every fight's been to my perfect record. And that's what I'm going to fight to the death for, is to keep it perfect. So, if I'm going to give it my all, I'm going to take chances, and I'm going to make it as exciting as possible, but I'm going to get the win.
Now, you're also, in my opinion, you're in a very aggressive fighter and then also kind of a come-and-get-me fighter. And I read an interview you did recently that you even said yourself, I leave my chin out there, I'm aggressive, and one of these days somebody might catch me. If it's Nick, it'd be great for his career in the long run. Are you guys in any way connected as far as friends are concerned, or are you just that humble of a fighter? It's good for him if he wins.
I wouldn't. I like Nick. I don't dislike Nick at all. I mean, I could say, yeah, we're cool and all, but I wouldn't even say that I'm humble. It's humbleness. I'd say that it's I know exactly what I'm doing. This is fighting, and it takes one short shot to put you out sometimes if it's the perfect angle, perfect timing. So, I would be ignorant to sit here and say that I'm invincible, especially when, I know for a fact that if someone hits me on the chin in the right spot at the right time, I'm going to go to sleep, and it's just a fact of life, really. It's what I do. And, the people that say I'm too aggressive, too wild. You know, they're not the ones in there fighting. So, you know, it doesn't really bother me what anybody has to say other than I just hope they enjoy the way I fight, and that's all I really care about.
Right on. And in that time, you know, since going pro, going to 11-0, winning the lightweight title for the World Series of Fighting, you've started to amass quite the fan base. You know, you come all the way out from across the U.S., but yet you've been able to kind of build a following all the way down here in Florida, throughout the states, because of your performances in the World Series of Fighting. Now, this is going to be your third fight in Florida, and you've, like I was saying, you've started to build a following out here because of the phenomenal performance you've put on. You know, what goes into your preparations when you have to prepare to fight, you know, across the country, when you have to make a big travel? Does that change the way you would fight based if you're fighting near home, or are you a fighter that no matter where you're fighting, you can prepare the same way and go about things the same way?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. You know, I don't need to change anything. I've worked my whole life towards this, and, you know, to just sit here and say I'm going to change my whole game would, you know, it would be just stupid. So, you know, I'm glad that the people in Florida, I respect and I'm happy that the people in Florida like me for the way that I fight, you know, and that's all I'm here for, is to be recognized as, you know, the best in the world, and I will prove that, but, you know, I have to take it one step at a time. I have to start eliminating everybody in the 155-pound division that's undefeated first off, and then I got to, you know, shoot for the top.
Now, what have the interactions between you and Nick been like so far? I mean, how much have you guys been around each other this week? And what is the has there been any intensity, any tension, or has it kind of just been a little bit more laid back and relaxed?
You know, I haven't seen Nick once since then. Well, I seen him walking by when I was eating dinner today, but you know, I haven't seen him, you know, even to say hi or whatever. But we were in Las Vegas together a couple weeks ago, and yeah, I mean, you know, we both understand. You know, we're both, it's just a sport, it's a competition, and we both get paid to do this, so. You know, we're helping each other out. We're both exciting fighters. We're both going to put our names out there, and we're both going to make money on Saturday. And that's the bottom line. And you know, but and then our job is to make it exciting. So that's what we're here to do.
Well, I think you'll most definitely deliver the best fight of the night, in my opinion. I'm a huge fan of yours. I love the way that you both fight. But what I was curious is if you have a certain way you'd rather end this. You know, you have some impressive quick wins. You have like a 12-second win, I think a 69-second win, 2.5 minutes. Do you want to end a fight that soon? Or would you prefer
yes.
to really go and show everybody what you can do, like a lengthy fight?
Well, I don't care how long it is, but the only way I'm going to be satisfied is if I get the knockout. You know, I'm not going to be satisfied with the decision or a submission. You know, I have one job in there, and that's to go in there and incapacitate my opponent, and that's by knocking him out. And that's my only goal.
Right on, man. Straightforward, to the point, and that's what fans have been able to come to expect from you is going out there, finishing people. You know, you're coming in off of six straight KO finishes, KO, TKO finishes, you know, submission finish before that. We've, you know, from watching you, from watching Newell, we know that you guys are two guys that want to finish fights. You don't want to go in there. You're not fighting for the judges. And I think both of you have only ever gone to the judges one time each, and that's kind of a testament to the level that you guys are at, that you guys are perhaps, you know, outside of the Zuffa Nation, which I think the average MMA fan can't relate to fighters outside of that, but outside of, you know, the Zuffa fighters, you and Nick might be the top two lightweights in the world. And for you guys to be able to come together on a main event like this at the World Series of Fighting 11 is I think to people that pay attention to the sport outside of the UFC is huge. You know, if you really think about the grand aspect of what's going to be taking place Saturday afternoon in Daytona, to have two guys like you step in the cage, go to war, and be a main event, I think is huge for you guys as well as up-and-coming guys in your division.
Yeah, and especially the fact that it's going to be on, you know, the national NBC network. That's huge for us, and it just shows that the World Series of Fighting trusts me and Nick. They know that's a big risk. You know, anybody who you're going to put in the main event of your first show on NBC network and the first ever show on NBC network, you know, you have to know that they're going to go out there and perform. And that's what the World Series has in me, Nick, and that's why I know a lot of people want to see this fight.
Now, when we last spoke, you made a plea. You know, you said you need to get more followers on Twitter, man. How has that been? Have you been noticing a big influence there? Have you been noticing people kind of taking more notice and saying, hey, you know, look at this is an awesome young fighter. Let's follow this guy, see what he's got going on.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be even a lot better after I beat Nick up. You know, he has like 20,000 or some followers, so see, I'm going to steal some of those guys. But, you know, I really, it's my fault. You know, it's no one else's fault other than my own that I don't, you know, try to be more busy on there. But definitely this last week I've been trying to keep up, and it's definitely been, you know, a lot busier and a lot better actually for me. You know, I enjoy interacting with people. That's what I'm here to do, especially kids, you know. So any chance I can get to, you know, interact with anybody that's a fan or, you know, not a fan, you know, that's what I'm here for.
All right, now when it comes down to it, Saturday, you know, the cage door is locked. The referee says fight. What do you expect to see? What is your initial reaction right now to what's going to go down as soon as that fight gets going?
Oh, man, you know, you guys know what's going to happen. We're going to go out there and we're going to try to kill each other. You know, that's what we're getting paid for. But yeah, I see Nick trying. You know, he's going to try and take me down. He's going to try and get it to the floor, especially after I hit him a couple times or kick him in the leg a couple times. So, you know, I just really got for the first 3 minutes or so, I need to really minimize my mistakes. And you know, once I get a little sweaty, you know, it doesn't matter. I'll be able to slip out of anything he has, so I can get a little crazy then.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Justin, thank you again for joining us, man. It's awesome having you on the show here. Looking forward to seeing a great fight from you and Nick on Saturday, and looking forward to seeing the stands filled so that many people can see two of the best lightweights out there go to work. Before we let you go, man, do you have sponsors that you'd like to give a shout-out to and where people can find you on social media?
Yeah, first off, I just want to say, man, the more packed this place is, the harder I'm coming. So, and I hope you guys from Florida are going to come out and support me and Nick, the World Series. And, you know, I promise you I'm going to go hard. Yeah, couple sponsors, Gamma Labs, Open Loop Energy from Arizona, KBL Industrial Services, the Grudge Training Center, Grudgeware, you know, Power Built Golf Clubs, No Limit Archery. And thank you guys for having me on the show.
You got it, man. I'll come find you Saturday, introduce myself, and I'll look forward to seeing a great fight from you and from Nick.
Yeah, please do, man. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man. You have a great night, Justin.
Okay, later, man.
That's Justin Gaethje, the World Series of Fighting Lightweight Champ. I do want to I want to correct something I said, and when I said that him and Newell are two of the best lightweights outside of the UFC, I want to make sure that anyone listening knows I was not, and I am not overlooking Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman. Hot Sauce is by far one of my favorite fighters out there, and as well one of the best lightweights in the world. I think that the three of them, as well as maybe one or two other guys, are among the top lightweights not signed by the UFC and are going to be the top lightweights in the world by far. So I was not at all overlooking or disrespecting Holtzman. Holtzman is I'm a big fan of Scott's, and I think he as well as in that company is one of the best lightweights in the world. So yeah, I just want to make that correction. But yeah, man, Justin Gaethje, World Series of Fighting Lightweight Champ, he's ready to go, and you heard it, you know, the more the fans are there to support, the more fans that are there and let the fighters hear it, the more he's going to bring it, and it's just going to be a phenomenal, man. It's going to be a phenomenal night of fights, day of fights. And I think those two are going to put on probably one of the best fights we've seen in recent history.
I was going to say the same exact thing. I really think that this fight, both of these guys have so much determination and drive and heart once they get in there. I think there is no way that this fight could be in any way disappointing to anyone.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Kari. There's so much potential for this fight, and from these two fighters, so you're talking two guys with such identical records, you know. You've got 11-0, 11-0, only one decision each. Justin's got a lot of KOs, TKOs. Nick's got a lot of submissions. These fighters are so well-versed in being finishers that there's almost no way that we could see a decision. We're going to see somebody get finished, and it's going to be a very explosive and very exciting fight.
I agree 100%. Absolutely cannot wait for it.
So let's move on a little bit to talk real quick. Chael Sonnen this past week, obviously getting himself into some more trouble. failed a drug test a couple weeks back, so he goes ahead, he retires. And then I guess fails another drug test this past week, failed it for like three different reasons. I know HGH was one. I think HGH, what did you say? I'm sorry, go ahead.
There were four banned substances in this last one, if I'm not mistaken.
Four.
Four.
You could be correct. I thought it was three. I could be wrong. Let's see. I got it right here in front of me. A random drug test for EPO, HGH. That's all it is for those. I know there was definitely a third one. But anyways, real quick, because I don't want to spend much time on this because I don't think he deserves much time. I think it's just silliness. But Chael is the ultimate hype man, and that's the only reason that he achieved the great success he did. He was a very good fighter, but in no way should he have earned himself into three straight title fights. He did that with his mouth. Now, he put on good shows most of the time. There was only a few fights in his career where he just truly got his ass kicked. But for the most part, he came out, he put on great shows, he beat a lot of top opponents. But he is just, for him to sit and talk all that about Vanderlei, about Vitor, talk all that trash, to then go and fail drug tests for so many different things, multiple times, I just think it's silliness, and I think it's a bad outlook for the sport, for the average fan who maybe just knows, maybe they just know MMA through seeing Chael Sonnen's antics. They've paid attention to some of his fights because he's such a good hype person, and they're going to see stuff like that, and I think it's a bad outlook. But I think ultimately, it's a bad way for him to carry himself, you know, for him to have so much to say about other people and then to turn around and then fail drug tests for the same exact reasons. To me, it's like, dude, the level of hypocrisy in that is ironically just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And I think that the move by Fox and the UFC to cut with ties with him, I think it was a great call. I think for all of the antics and all the stuff surrounding Chael, I think it was great to make a clean cut from him after this latest drug test failure.
And I think it was not only a great choice, but with everything that's going on since this TRT ban, I think it was a must. Because you couldn't really support what he's doing while you're trying to fight it so much. I don't think there was any way around him getting fired.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It was HGH, EPO, anastrozole, and HCG that he tested positive for the second failed test.
Well, I know that anastrozole and clomiphene were the reasons he failed the June 10th drug test. So that's probably, which is funny because if he failed it for that drug test and he was still on it, then obviously he didn't learn. So,
exactly.
But yeah, so it's silly. He's obviously got I don't know. It's whatever. He's a retired fighter now. He's supposed to be, I believe he's supposed to be in the main event at Metamorphosis 4 against I think Andre Galvo, which I'm going to be honest, I'm lost on that one. I don't even understand the matchup there, because you've got one of the top jiu-jitsu practitioners in the entire world against Chael Sonnen, who's a top-notch wrestler, but I don't think in any way is on the level that Andre Galvo is on. But other than that, you got Dean Lister versus Josh Barnett. Barnett's obviously got some sick jiu-jitsu. But yeah, I don't understand the Chael Sonnen Andre Galvo matchup. But I guess we'll see how it goes down. But yeah, that's August 9th. That's coming up real soon. I love the Metamorphosis events, man. They've been really cool each time. But anyways, moving on. I want to touch briefly on RFC 31 New Breed, which goes down next Friday, July 11th. Next Friday. going to be at the All-Card Pavilion like always. Calling it New Breed because it's going to feature a lot of debuts, a lot of guys making their pro debuts. Luis Sicara making his debut out of World Class Martial Arts, went 7-0 as an amateur and pretty much tore up everybody he fought. I believe the only person to have finished Michael D'Angelo Jr., and Michael D'Angelo is one of the top amateurs in Florida. Actually was supposed to fight this past weekend, but the fight just it didn't work out. I forget the reason. Something went down that was just a crappy situation. He wasn't able to fight, but I know that he's looking to possibly go pro. We'll be having him back on the show to officially talk about that down the road. But yeah, so Luis Sicara making his pro debut. I have an Angry Bird Del Valle going to be in the main event. I'm drawing a blank, man. Alon Cruz, Sean Hollis, I think Billy Quarantillo, David Mundell, a lot of great young Florida pros on that fight card. Tito Rodriguez is going to be on that fight card. A lot of guys, local guys throughout the Florida scene here, pros, young guys, going to be on that fight card. Abby Velasquez making his pro debut on that fight card. He was supposed to face Christian Reed, but Christian Reed was in a motorcycle accident and had to pull out because he had to have surgery. So Abby will be facing Rory Every, also making his pro debut, and Rory was one of the top Florida amateur fighters, fought many times for Breakthrough MMA, won a couple titles throughout his amateur career, and it's going to be a great pro debut for both of those guys. So that's going down next Friday, July 11th at the A La Carte Pavilion. Next week's show, we will have feature two of our segments will be for the RFC. We're going to be talking with Ivan Angry Bird Del Valle and his opponent, whose name right now is escaping me, so I will have to get back on that one. And then we're going to talk with Luis Sicara because I just love Luis, the Cuban assassin. He's an awesome dude. Had the chance to roll and train with him. He's an awesome guy. I always give him a hard time, but truth be told, he's an awesome dude. Love the guy and love to watch him fight. So it's going to be a great night of fights down there at the A La Carte Pavilion. It always is. The RFC is always top-notch stuff. So moving on, we're going to be talking here shortly with Muhammad Mo Muscle Darius, one of the highest-ranked Florida amateur fighters in the history of Florida amateur MMA. Guy put together a stellar MMA record throughout his time and just did a great job. Went pro at 5x18, won his pro debut, and is looking to fight again here, World Series of Fighting 11. Before we do that, we'll play a quick song, we'll come back, and we'll go right into being live with Muhammad. So enjoy some... I'm in a Thrice mood. I've been listening to Thrice all week, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do Thrice, if I can find Thrice. If we have Thrice. I think we do. Here we go. Enjoy it.
It's called TNC. Thank you guys again. Have a great night. We'll be right back.
All right, we are back live, and we are with Muhammad Mo Muscle Durice. Muhammad, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself? What's up? It's Mo Muscle.
doing awesome, man. You know, how exciting is it for you that you're going to be fighting a World Series of Fighting? Not far from home, I would imagine you're going to have a lot of friends and fans come out and watch you fight, man. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels great, man. It's definitely awesome to get on a high-level card like this, man. Definitely, it's only being my second pro fight, and I only had one fight in South Florida. And to get the call to come on a promotion at this grand of the scale is just amazing.
Now, you've already fought some of the biggest names throughout Florida MMA in your amateur career. You put together one of the best records that I think Florida amateur MMA has ever seen. You took out people like Ronnie the Pit Phillips, Chaz Rooks, Dominic Tominelli, and Dominic Tominelli has not been defeated by many people. So you won titles pretty much everywhere you went. You've taken all that. You go pro, you win your pro debut, and now you're presented with this awesome opportunity and only your second pro fight. What is that kind of? How does that make you feel about the success that you've been able to put together at such a young age?
It's been a tough ride, and it's good to see that everything paid off. Cause a lot of people wanted me to go pro after like my fourth fight, fifth fight, but I wanted to make a statement coming out of amateur. I wanted to get some more experience and go against high level amateur fighters to test where I'm at as far. So when I went pro. And the fight guys like Ronnie Phillips and Dominic Tominelli, also Garrett James from Fort Pierce, like all those guys were strong opponents. Tim Russell, and be able to beat them in the fashion that I did, it was just great. And to jump in my pro debut and to win it the way I did it, I wanted to finish it and I didn't finish it, so I was upset. And to be offered with this type of fight, man, it's just awesome. And I just want to go out there and show the world what I'm capable of doing.
The fight, or the fact that you took this fight on short notice, have you done anything as far as your training goes? Because I'm sure you weren't really like training very intensively. Have you done anything to vamp that up in any way?
Yeah, so as soon as I got the call that same night, I hit the gym. The next day, I got together at Fight Sports with Todd and I told him, hey, listen, I only got a couple days to get ready. I'm just pushing myself as hard as I can in the next couple of days, the next 4 days, and I pretty much kicked it up in gear and I just wanted to make sure my cardio was good so I can go in there and last all three rounds and not be huffing and puffing. So we just picked up the cardio a lot, my strength and my technique. I have been working a little bit here and there because I was starting to get ready for August. I was tiptoeing into it, and as soon as I got the call, I just had to turn it up, and this is what I did.
I want to jump a little bit off topic from your fight and talk a little bit about Mo Muscle MMA, and that is that I've probably been in three or four different fight cards where I've seen, I've seen yourself or I've seen your brothers or cousins, relatives fight. Talk a little bit about what you guys have going on there and about the amazing talent, I guess, that must run through your family when it comes to mixed martial arts, because you guys have been able to do a lot of good here in the amateur scene.
Yeah, my family has been into martial arts since I can remember. I remember when I was a little kid. I had, like, my older cousin, Naeem. He would practice with me when I was about 4 or 5, 6 years old and teach me all the way to about 8 years old until I moved to Florida. And my father has been doing it since I can remember. And so it's been strong in my family. And then and a lot of people in my family, we all play football or basketball and whatnot. And when I got into MMA, I talked to my cousin, and he told me he was into it. And when he came to Florida, he joined the camp with us, and we worked out with us, and we got him a couple fights. And then my brother, one of my younger brothers, he wanted to get into it, and he did pretty well with his fights. And it's something we've been doing in our family for a while. It's been martial arts, and the transition over to MMA has actually become a real professional sport. It's been something that we could turn our attentions to now in that aspect of it, because a couple of us, we were shooting to be more like football, basketball players, but the route didn't go as way we expected, and we just turned back to what we've been groomed to do since we were little kids.
Right. And well, now, go ahead, Kari. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Kari.
Well, he brought up football, and I was curious because, you were a high school football star. Was there something earlier in your high school days that made you want this MMA career, or did this just happen once the football kind of ended?
It pretty much happened as the football ended, but even when I was in the mix of it, when I first started playing football at UCF for my first year, I saw it on TV. I saw the UFC on TV and actually paid attention to it, and I watched it, and I was like, you know what, I could do this. I was like, I'm doing football right now, so I'm not really trying to do that, but I could definitely do that. And what happened was I was training after I was done with college. I was training, and I was trying to get to a combine or something because I hadn't played. I didn't finish with college, so because I went to semi-pro, and I was trying to play that to get some film, and I was working on my speed and my power, and I had it there, and I wanted to get film to show to the scouts, and I got injured during the first game, and once I got injured, I had to figure out different ways to work out without aggravating my groin, and boxing was one of them, and when I got into the tough man boxing, I ended up winning 9 in a row, and God saw me. Richard Jones, one of the coaches for wrestling I met, he saw me. He said, hey, I know you were a wrestling stud, and I've seen you box. It's pretty good. You ever thought about MMA? And then I had a flashback of when I was playing football, and I saw it on TV, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll get into it. And ever since then, I've been winning, so I just stuck with it.
Now, what is it like for you, you know, when you've coming in, you know, with this long undefeated record, have so much great success, and you're going to be able to have the opportunity now? You know, you're fighting on a prelim fight, but because of airtime and how TV networks fight, how TV networks run, your fight could very well end up being aired on the national televised event. How does that feel for you, being such a young guy who's gotten used to just the local scene?
Man, it's amazing. This is what I would hope for, man. This is something I've been wanting to be showcased as a professional athlete since I can remember since I was a little kid, and to be able this early in my career to have the possibility, even have the possibility to be played on TV for all people, millions of viewers all across the world to see. It's just an amazing opportunity, and I couldn't really pass up on this option. I was like, even if I'm not in the best, I'm not a total 100% in the best shape I could be or wish to be, but I'm gonna come in there and I'm gonna show what I'm capable of doing, and I'm gonna fight to the last breath, and I'm not gonna give up, and I'm gonna keep there, and I'm gonna keep fighting, and the world's gonna see what I'm capable of doing.
Now, with fighting a guy who's got a pretty diverse pro record as it is, you know, being I think 5-6 or 6-6, something like that. Do you think that he's going to have an advantage having such more pro experience, or do you think that you've built enough amateur experience that it's not even going to matter?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I've had so many amateur fights, and given the rounds a different time and everything, so it's not exactly the same. But I kind of did that on purpose. I wanted to get a lot of experience in before I entered pro, so it wouldn't be as tough. So if I had to take a fight versus somebody who might have had more fights, it would kind of balance out, you know. So the fact that he had 11 fights on the pro level is definitely an advantage as far as the experience in the cage. I'll give that to him. But I still have been in the cage for 11 amateur bouts before this, so it's nothing that I am not used to being there.
Right. Now, when it comes down, what's it like for you fighting, you know, near where all your friends' family are? You're going to have a lot of people be able to come out and watch you fight live. What's that feeling like?
It's great, man. A lot of my amateur fights, I got a lot of support to do, and this one being such late notice, I have a huge response just from this late notice to be on this show. But I usually have a large following, and it's just been good. I haven't fought in front of my hometown in about a year, so everybody's been wanting to come see me and watch me fight. So it was awesome that they had something like this in Orlando, because all of my fights, I'm not in Orlando, but Daytona, but all of my fights that I'll be having on my contract is for Fight Time Promotions down in Fort Lauderdale, and it's hard for them to drive about 2.5 hours to get down there. So something to be right around the corner is a good opportunity for all my fans, people that have been supporting me, to come out and watch a big venue. A lot of them came to the amateur shows, and they have some good amateur shows, but this is the real deal. This is what you watch on TV and get hyped to. So it's just amazing for them to be able to experience that with me.
Right on, man. Now, as far as the Fight Time contract goes, I remember that too. I'm glad you brought that up, because I know that when you signed that before the 18 fight, how were they with working with you to let you take this fight? Did they give you a hard time, or was they just kind of like, you know, since the opportunity was there, were they just kind of just like go for it, or what?
Yeah, I was a little nervous about it at first. I don't know how they would think about it, but I sent the message to Carla asking her how if it was okay if I did it. And the first thing she sent me back was congratulations. So we will never hold our fighters back from an opportunity like this. We wish nothing but the best to you. So I was very happy that they were so supportive as they were. They let me fight here and still in the same state of Florida and not have a problem with it. Usually a lot of times promotions don't like when you fight in the same pool of where their fans and stuff are. So it was cool that they were on board, and I appreciate everything they've been doing for me.
Right on, man. Now what are your expectations for the fight? Being that he's got so much pro experience, what are you expecting for him to bring to you?
I expect him to come there and work his game plan. As far as, you know, he's going to probably come in there striking, working for a takedown. From what I've seen so far, he likes to strike and then work for a takedown. So I'm gonna do what I usually do. I'm gonna go and fill him out. You know, I'm gonna strike with him. If he wants to take it to the ground, we can go there. I'm very comfortable on the ground. And if he wants to stand up, I like the slug. So we can take it. We can go wherever you want to go. And if he gets uncomfortable somewhere, I'm gonna take it to him regardless. I plan on coming in there, wearing him out, and taking him out, finishing the fight.
Right on. And is that it? I mean, no other expectations, no other desires. You want to go in, you want to get the fight finished, and you want to get on with the night?
Yeah, I'm trying to get in there and get out, man. If it goes all three rounds, it goes all three rounds, but it's going to be finished regardless. I'm going there, I'm going to finish it, and I'm going to get back to watching the great night of fights going on.
Right on, man. All right, before we let you wrap up and get out of here, what's the one last thing you want to leave with us and leave with the fans to know that they're going to expect to see from Mo Muscle?
Man, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be setting off fireworks for the 4th of July in the cage. I'm letting hands go. I'm letting feet go. I'm slamming people in the head. I'm done. No, I'm doing it all. I'm going to showcase everything I'm capable of doing, and you're into for a great spectacle. I like to call it a spectacle. You're going to see some amazing stuff. It's Mo Muscle MMA. This is what we do. We go out there, we get in the ring, we handle business, and we get out, and we go have fun afterwards.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Muhammad, thank you for joining us, man. Before we let you go, do you have any sponsors you'd like to give shout-outs to? And then also let us know where we can find you on social media.
All right. I don't have too many sponsors built up yet, but I would like to give a thanks to everybody who's been supporting me, Eric Hunstead, Dr. Daly, Chris Hildebrand from Dr. Terrazzo Floors, everybody, Jesse from Sinflow, Kale Jarvis from eFlow. Guys been hooking me up with shirts here and there. Everybody, the Delgado firm in Daytona, he's a black belt that coaches me at Fight Sports Daytona. Ty, my trainer, everybody in my family, my whole Darius Abdul-Hop family. It's everybody who's been supporting me.
Right up. Right on, Mo Muscle. Well, you have yourself a good night, man. I'll come find you Saturday, introduce myself, and I'll look forward to seeing a great fight from you.
All right, awesome. Take it easy. Good night, everybody on Zombie Radio. Let's do this.
All right, man. You have a good night, Mo Muscle.
All right, good night.
I love the energy level, man. Awesome guy. Got to see him fight back at Donnie Hare's live cage fights. He took on Chaz Brooks. It was an awesome fight. The only time I've got to see him fight in person. And just a very talented young fighter. Looking forward to seeing him go at it with Rashawn Spencer on Saturday. Gonna be a great fight there on the prelims, and who knows, man? Maybe the way things work out, he gets a good finish. You know, could end up seeing his fight there on the live broadcast. You know, for people watching at home, so be some great exposure for Muhammad, who's a great young fighter. Obviously, you know, undefeated amateur record. Talking a lot of undefeated tonight. I think that's the most that's ever been said on the radio here on the show. You know, and it's cool. It shows you the talent that the World Series of Fighting has been putting together. So, anyways, we'll play a quick song. We'll come back, and then I'll spend a few minutes talking about how much I don't like Jason Arnett. No, I'm just kidding. we'll talk a little bit more about the World Series of Fighting fight card, and then we'll be joined by the man himself, Jason Arnett from Breakthrough MMA, just talking a little bit about you know, the work he's doing with the World Series of Fighting and what we can expect to see on Saturday. So. See what we do. We did a day to remember. We did Thrice. My girlfriend hates Thrice, but I love it, and I make her listen to it all the time. So, we'll do The Used, another one of my favorites. Here you go. Which one do I want to do? We'll do Slit Your Own Throat. Here you go. Enjoy. it's a good thing I remember to press mute when we put that stuff on, because I'm usually sitting here singing like a fool. I turn around and my girlfriend's just laughing at me, so I thought I was sitting here singing to myself, didn't even realize she was in the room with me, but oh well. Anyways, so yeah, we're going to go ahead, we're going to get rolling here with Jason Arnett in a minute. Jason just kind of wanted to come on for a couple minutes, talk about the good stuff that World Series of Fighting has been doing in, for the MMA scene in Daytona, talk a little bit about how he's been kind of helping him out there, doing some local stuff, and so yeah, so we're going to go ahead and I'm going to get him on the phone and we'll get rolling. So enjoy a couple ads. Listen to our great sponsors. They are awesome. Buy their stuff.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Pro-Am Championship Belt, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am Championship Belts.
All right, we are back live with the awesome, the man himself, Jason Arnett, who is most definitely the coolest guy of all time. Jason, how are you doing, buddy?
Oh, man. The only reason he said that is because I just threatened him when we were muted 2 seconds ago, because I heard what he said about 5 minutes ago about me.
There may have been some profanities, and I was like, man, no, I'm going to kiss some ass real quick. But no. So what's new, man?
You know,
how
I love
are things
you,
going out there? Same here, man. Same
dude,
here, Jason.
Everything's crazy out here in Daytona. We got a lot of support out here. The fans are going crazy. I got street teams all over the road. I got teams all over the racetrack, teams all over the beach. We're really just, like, pumping up the fights hardcore. And all the tourists that come in town, about 250,000 people, they're all excited about it. So we're going to have a huge turnout tomorrow night for the first ever card on NBC. World Series of Fighting is huge, man. I'm just honored and happy to be a part of it and just trying to help these guys out, man. I just really want to leave a good impression for Florida, because, I mean, this is such a huge opportunity. I mean, the thing that I really want to get across while I'm on the radio is, like, this is such a huge opportunity for us in Florida, man. We all need to stand up. We all need to come out. We all need to support, because if this is a successful thing, these guys love Florida. If it's successful, they're going to come back. They're already talking about coming back at the end of this year. I probably shouldn't be spilling any rumors or anything, but possibly Tampa, maybe Jacksonville, maybe Daytona again. They don't know, but they're working it out now. If it goes good, they're going to want to come back. If it doesn't go good, they got the whole rest of the nation to go to. I mean, they have NBC behind them. So, I mean, the whole thing I really am on here to stress is, everyone, get your asses up, come out here, support the World Series of Fighting. They're letting us put our local guys on the card, which is huge. I mean, this is nationally televised. Everyone needs to come out. Get out here and support. I don't give a shit if I got to give free tickets to everyone that runs into me. Come meet me at Wayne's tomorrow. I'll throw free tickets to anyone. We just have to really show them that we're here to support and pack the house. I mean, that's my whole mission here.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. This is a huge opportunity, because Florida's been snubbed in the past by the UFC. Bellator comes through here on a regular occurrence, but World Series of Fighting in a short time has really shown a big interest in Florida. You know, only 11 events, 3 of them have been here in Florida, and I think that goes a long way for it being a promotion that from the get-go was on a major level. From World Series of Fighting 1, they were on a major level, and in a short time, they've come here 3 times. I think that shows a lot of great stuff for our state and for the MMA scene here in Florida, and you're right, this is a huge opportunity for the Florida MMA fans, for the Florida MMA fighters, for the local promoters even. This stuff like this benefits local shows, you know, the your shows, the World Class Fight Leagues, the so on and so forth, the shows throughout Florida. This benefits them to have such a major promotion saying that they want to come into these cities, they want to come into Miami, they want to come into Daytona, and they want to potentially come into Tampa to put on shows, because they see such a great scene, and that's going to be evident from the fans, from the local fighters and from the local promotions.
Yeah, man, and, like, forget our local show. Like, forget my local show. I mean, this is more about the local fighters. When they called me and said, hey, I need to fill a last-minute spot, who do you got? And, you know, when I was able to put Bo DeReese on the card, Rashawn Spencer, a couple guys that I was able to reach out to these local gyms who support us and be able to put our local guys back on this nationally televised card, that's what it's all about, man. It's about this opportunity for the fighter. So if everyone steps up and supports, there's going to be so many more doors opening for us. I mean, they love Florida. So if we all can come out and show them the support that they're trying to show us, then it's just going to open up doors for all these fighters who are working their ass off. And, you know, the top guys have been busting their ass, like the Muhammad DeReese, 11-0 amateur. He's going to come out here, and he's put in his time as amateur, and now the door is open. And here's his opportunity. He's going to be on this huge card. I mean, that's what's the most important to me. I mean, forget what I do and everything else on the side. I mean, I do it all to be able to help these guys out. I mean, like, it just makes everything so worth it. It's just like, you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow to put on all these hours and all these times and put up all this money and lose money sometimes and everything else. And then after years and years of doing this, being able to just call up Mo, like, you ready? I got this opportunity for you. We're ready to go on in a week. Let's do this. This is your shot. You know, it's just like that kind of stuff is what it's all about, man. That's like that's really what I'm on here for, is just to really stress that this is a huge opportunity. No one needs to look this. No one needs to take this for granted. Everyone needs to come out, support it, and it's just going to open up doors for everyone else locally, and it's great for us.
Yeah. Now, what to you is probably going to be pick one fight each, one fight off the prelims, one fight off the main card that you think is going to stand out.
Well, I'm going to be biased here on the undercard. I'm going to go with my man Muhammad DeReese, of course, because he's just my local guy here, who's 11-0, undefeated. He's destroyed everyone. No one would step up and fight him for me at 205. I put him at heavyweight and put him up against the top heavyweights, and he destroyed everyone else. So, you know, I got to support my man Muhammad. On the main card, gosh, the main card's so stacked. Do I got to pick one? Can I pick four? I mean, Melvin Gillard. I met Melvin Gillard yesterday. I mean, the kid is fucking crazy. I mean, it's insane. I'm really excited. I'm more excited about him now than after I met him, because his personality is the same as the way he fights. He's explosive. He's nuts. He's unpredictable. I'm really excited about that. I'm extremely excited about John Fitch. I was with him all day today. He's a super humble dude, great guy. He's a vet in the sport. I mean, it's just an honor to be able to sit K-side and watch this guy fight. And then, of course, the main event, which is insane, with Justin Gaethje, with him being the champion. He's 11-0 undefeated. He has like 8 or 9 knockouts, a submission, and one decision. And then he's fighting Nick Newell. He was born with the arm issue, where he has like a half an arm, which is just like, it's just crazy that he's able to accomplish the goals that he's been able to accomplish, being that he's been given that disability from birth. I mean, he's 11-0. The kid's undefeated. He submitted 9 of his opponents, and he's knocked out one, and he went to one decision. So, I mean, both of these guys are killers. They're both finishers. You got the crazy spin on it with Nick and his situation. It's so exciting. I mean, the main card is just, I don't know what to pick. It's just great. I mean, it's going to be great for TV. It's going to be great for all the fans. I just can't wait. It's too hard to pick one, man. I just can't pick one. Which one's your favorite?
I'm with you. On the prelims, yeah, I want to see Mo Muscle big time. You know, I got to watch him fight out at Donnie Harris Cage Fights in Orlando, but I want to see him look. Getting to see him fight in person again is going to be a big thing for me. Neiman Gracie, Dustin Holyko, I think to me is going to be like the fight to see on the prelims. As far as that main card goes, I mean, I want to kind of steal everything you just said. John Fitch versus Dennis Coleman looks to be a great matchup. The Gaethje versus Newell matchup is just something. It's like video game esque. Like, it's like 11-0 versus 11-0, 10 finishes. You know, it's like something it's like something that doesn't happen in real life. So I think that is going to be, as I was saying earlier, one of the biggest lightweight matchups outside of the UFC in a long, long time. And I think it's going to determine one of these guys being one of the best all around lightweights in the world. But, yeah, other than that, Melvin Gillard, a true veteran legend of the sport stepping in the World Series cage. I think it's just a very well-rounded fight card, probably one of the best fight cards we've seen from a major promotion here in Florida in quite some time.
Yeah, it's insane. And I've seen Jay-Z Cavalcanti check in today. I mean, that dude is just a monster. The whole main card is just ridiculous. I mean, and like I said, everyone who's listening right now, get your asses out to weigh-ins at the Hilton Oceanside. Starts at 11 a.m. You come and find me. I will give you free tickets. You just show up, support the event. I will take care of everyone. After weigh-ins, it's a wrap. You get your tickets at the door. You come out to weigh-ins to support, come grab me, tug me, Matthew, hate me, love me, whatever you want to do, come on out here. I'll give everyone free tickets. Everyone who could find me, I'll give you as many free tickets as I have in my pocket, and I got a bunch of free tickets in my pocket. And it's just for the local guys that support this local scene, that listen to your local radio. Those are the only people who are going to hear about me giving out these tickets, the people on my Facebook, the people on your radio show, anyone in the local scene. I just can't stress it enough. I need the locals to step up and support this show. If I got to give you the tickets, it doesn't matter. Drive out here, meet us at weigh-ins, show these people that we're going to support the weigh-ins, show these people that we're going to come back out and support the show, and that's it. I mean, that's what we got to do. And it's going to open up doors for all fighters in the future, man. That's what it's about.
Right on, man. Right on. You're absolutely right. Listen, man, thank you for joining us. As always, I look forward to seeing you Saturday. Thanks for being here, and we'll be having you back on the show leading up to Breakthrough on May 13, August 16th. So we'll be hearing from you just down the road a little bit.
Yes, sir. All right, thanks, guys. Everyone come out tomorrow, weigh-ins, Hilton, Ocean Walk, Daytona Beach, 11 a.m. Fights are Saturday. Doors open up at 1 o'clock, and I'll see all you guys there. Matthew, thanks for covering this. Thanks for always including me. I'm humbled by everything that you guys do. Love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Have a good night, Jason.
Yes, sir. Bye.
That's Jason Arnett, man, it's people like Jason on the local scene when they're more than willing to go above and beyond and help and really want to make a good impression for these promotions. It's going to be stuff like that. It's going to be people stepping up alongside him that keep these promotions coming back, you know. You know, Florida, I think, is kind of really heavily underrated on a national scale when it comes to the MMA scene. They have no idea of the potential that's down here. We have a phenomenal scene. I think that people just kind of don't want to deal with the boxing commission here in the state, because I know I've heard that they can be a little bit of tasking. But when you come in the state, when you put on pro shows here, you see the amazing local talent. We have a phenomenal amateur pool of fighters that are growing, that are becoming bigger, better every day. And those, as they go pro, as they start to develop more, it's creating a phenomenal MMA scene in Florida on both the amateur and professional ranks. And I think we're seeing that by the fact that promotions like World Series of Fighting, Bellator, XFC, now the XFC obviously originated here in Tampa, but have become global, have become international, and they continue to come back to Florida. Because no matter what, there's a great scene here. There's great MMA in Florida, Tampa, Daytona, Orlando, Miami, up north in Pensacola, Jacksonville. It's a phenomenal MMA scene throughout this big state that often resembles the heat and the humidity of hell. If you can deal with that for a little bit, you come down here, watch some great MMA, and that's stuff like that. That scene, that the talent we have, is going to keep these people coming back, and it's going to keep people like the World Series of Fighting and Bellator and XFC coming back here. UFC, I couldn't give a flying crap what UFC does. It's cool when they come here, but ultimately, they're not looking at Florida ever as a serious place for MMA, and it's unfortunately that they do that, because Florida is a great place to be bringing your shows and stuff. You just if you really, as a promotion, put something into it, show that you want to be somewhere, then the fans are going to pay that back. When Bellator comes through with a top-notch fight card, when World Series of Fighting comes through with a top-notch fight card, the fans can see, okay, you're bringing in Nick Newell and Justin Gaethje, two undefeated lightweights, 11-0, main event, title fight. You're bringing in veterans like Melvin Gallard, John Fitch. You've got a fight like Neiman Gracie versus Dustin Holyko and some local guys in the royal family of MMA. When you're putting stuff like that together on a fight card, and bringing it to somewhere like Daytona, Florida, it shows the fans that you care about what you care about your product. You want to make sure that no matter where you go, you're going to give them the same product. You're going to give them your best product possible. And that, I think, is going to pay off for promotions like Bellator, World Series, XFC, that put their best foot forward everywhere they go. And they're going to put asses in the seats. People are going to want to see the fights. They're going to come out to the promotions. They're going to be viewing it on TV. They're going to be doing whatever they can to watch these fights because they see that the promoters and the promotions themselves are putting everything they can into it. And I think that's we're going to see that in full effect this weekend at World Series of Fighting 11. All right. So with that said, we're going to be getting in here shortly, actually right now, 11:35. I'm going to go ahead and jump behind the scenes, and we're going to give Joey Varner a call, and we're going to get rolling with Joey. So we'll be right back with you. And listen to some more of our phenomenal ads, because we just love our sponsors here.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Pro-Am championship belts who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championships, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am championship belts, proambelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am. Championship belt.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
All right, I'm back right now. We're having a little bit of trouble getting a hold of Joey, so we're going to keep rolling with it, and we'll give him a try in a minute, but... in the meantime, as we've been talking here all night about World Series of Fighting 11, World Series of Fighting 12, they've already kind of started putting a little bit together, getting a little bit. I think they have some very early early plans with that one. But they've been rolling along very smoothly, had some great success. I think they're looking at early August and possibly Tokyo, Japan for that one. But World Series of Fighting 11, in the first 11 events, they've done such a good job with these events and signing big-name fighters, whether up-and-coming guys, whether veterans of the sport. They've been able to sign a lot of top-notch fighters and have therefore had such great success. You know, with this event here, World Series of Fighting 11, you've got a couple veterans of the sport like Fitch and Gallard, Hallman, and then you've got new guys. You know, you've got young guys like Mo Muscle, Neiman Gracie, Dustin Holyko, Rashawn Spencer, you know, still a younger guy. Cody Bollinger, I know, is a guy that they're really, people are really, really pushing, really talking about. I'm hearing that Joey might be ready for us, so I'm going to go ahead and give him another call. So I'll throw a song on, and then if I get him on the line, I'll just go ahead and I'll cut the song off, and we'll get rolling. So, all right, here we go.
I'm a big fan.
All right, I am back. We are live with Joey Varner, and let me tell you something. Joey is excited. He is pumped up. They're out on Daytona Beach passing out, spreading the word about it, man. How are you doing, and thank you for joining us.
Man, I am doing amazing. Let me tell you this. Out here in Daytona, the party is nonstop. Every block we go to, there's a new band playing. There's a new microphone. And I'll tell you this, I've never met a microphone I didn't like. So every opportunity I get, I rush the stage. I talk to the lead singer. I get a hold of the microphone. And I let them know that if they're excited for the fireworks on July 4th, they need to get even more excited for the fireworks going down July 5th at the Ocean Center with the main event, Nick Newell challenging for the lightweight championship of the world against Justin Gaethje. Man, the people are loving it. I'm loving it. I can't wait. Two more nights, man. I feel like a kid at Christmas.
you jump right into the main event. So Newell, Gaethje, what are you expecting to see from these guys?
You know, it's so hard to tell, man. Nick Newell, he's slick. You know, what might appear as an adversity, he's turned into an advantage. I've had a couple friends at Extreme Couture that have wrestled and grappled with him in the past, and they say that because of his amputee in his arm, you think you're safe in certain positions, and next thing you know, he's choking you unconscious. So he's just so tricky. He's so slick. Justin Gaethje is a guy who's looked virtually unstoppable. He's explosive. He's dynamic. He's got knockout power in his punches, in his elbows. He can stop you with leg kicks. But the thing is he talked about coming into this fight, the new thing he wanted to employ was patience. And I don't know if patience suits the style of Justin Gaethje. That might play into the style of a guy like Nick Newell, who can slow that explosion down, who can get him to engage in a tie-up, in a grappling fest, and can slip one of those sneaky, tricky, slick submissions on and end this fight. I'm excited, man. I really don't know which way this is going to go, and I'm just so pumped up to see it happen.
You sound like, I mean, I know that you'll be sitting outside of the cage working, doing the commentating, but you kind of sound like the excitement, the energy pumping through your blood right now might have you jumping over the cage wall and getting in there and fighting yourself.
I got to be serious, man. I'm cage side for all these events. I'm working them, but it's hard to restrain yourself. You know, you want to jump in there, or at least you want to jump in their corner and start screaming advice and telling them what they should be doing and what they need to be doing. But, man, these two, they both bring it, and they bring such a high intensity of energy and something more, something special. You know, there's a camaraderie that exists in fighting that you don't see in other sports, and it's so awkward because you think in fighting there's two guys that are pitting themselves against each other, but at the end of the day, they're so united with this special bond. It's just it's an incredible experience, and I'm blessed and honored to be a part of it.
Right on, man. So in your time, you know, kind of seeing World Series of Fighting up close, what have you seen that they do that maybe sets them apart that has helped them to grow so big in such a short amount of time?
One of the main things, I think, is having Ray Sheffel as the president. Here's a guy who, he's a 30-year veteran of martial arts. He's a six-time world champion in the sport of kickboxing. He's one of the greatest K-1 legends in the sport. He's fought mixed martial arts. He knows the ins and outs of the game. He knows what it's like to be a trainer, to be a fighter, to be a promoter. He understands what everyone's going through. And with that, he can kind of deliver a level of sympathy and empathy and know how to work with everyone and to achieve a common goal. I mean, I think Ray makes a big difference in the sport. And I think World Series of Fighting is truly lucky to have him, as well as the Vice President, Ali Abdelaziz. Ali, a lot of people don't know this, but Ali was a professional fighter as well. He was also an Olympian in the art of judo. So he gets competition. He gets professional fighting. They've been there behind the scenes. And that kind of insight, that kind of expertise, you can't put a price tag on it. It changes the whole aspect of a promotion from behind the scenes when you have people who have been in the middle and they know what it takes, they know what you're going through, and they can relate to you through every aspect of the game.
Right on, man. I feel like you should write books. You should be an author. You're very just phenomenally well-spoken. I'm sad that while I'll be at the show Saturday, I won't be able to sit back and listen to you on TV and your greatness, man. It's just phenomenal energy flowing from you.
Brother, I appreciate that. You know what? If only I could write as well as I could speak. Once they invent that program where you talk and it translates it to writing, I'll be great. But until that time comes, my E's are backwards. My eyes are upside down. I look like my writing looks like a dyslexic sixth grader with a blindfold on.
All right, so. Now, let's move to the prelims. What fight on the prelims to you is going to stand out the most? What fight to you has the potential to be just as explosive as anything on the main card?
I got to be honest, man. I'm super juiced to see a big problem. Kendrick Myrie make his return. You know, in his first fight, his sole loss in professional mixed martial arts happened at his last bout against, I'm blanking on his name right now, the Russian. But, you know, the wrestler, Krasimir Mladenov. But, you know, now he's matched up against a guy in Jake Hood who loves to stand and bang. He's a knockout artist. You got two strikers who have finished 95% of their opponents. They love to trade. They love to strike. This fight gets me excited, and I feel like both these guys have a promising future, have a ton of potential, but I think the one that walks away is the person that's going to take that first step into the next division, the next league, you know. Be on that main card. Be the person who in two or three fights could be in title contention.
With success like the World Series of Fighting is having in such a short amount of time, where do you see them going long term? Because they've been able to do such great things in just 10 events going into their 11th event. They've been able to put together some really phenomenal events, phenomenal fights. They spread it out, too. They don't play favorites. They go to any city. They move around. This will be their third time in Florida, and that's building such a phenomenal fan base for them. What do you see them being like in maybe 10, 20 events?
Well, let's talk about it. You hit the nail on the head. They spread around. They've been in every city, in every state. But they're not the city series of fighting. They're not the state series of fighting. They're the world series of fighting. So what I see with the progression, with the development of the brand, is a worldwide domination. I see what them doing here in the States, they're going to do in Japan, they're going to do in Mexico, they're going to do in South America, they're going to do in Russia. They're going to develop these individual markets where they groom, breed, develop, and harness new up-and-coming talent and let them shine in those individual states, in those individual atmospheres, and then put them together on a global stage to do a true world series of fighting, to see who the best is in the world. I'm excited, man. The potential for them is through the roof, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of it.
Right on, man. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, dude. We're gonna let you get out of here so that you can get back to spreading the word and putting some asses in those seats for Saturday. Thank you for joining us. Before we let you go, give us one last hype. How great is this event going to be on Saturday?
Don't blink. You got the main event, which promises action nonstop. The eternal underdog, Nick Newell, promises to rise to the occasion against the virtually unstoppable Justin Gaethje. The co-main event, two legends of the sport finally meet. The submission artist, 31 submissions to his name, tapped out Matt Hughes twice. Dennis Holman taking on one of the best welterweights in the history of the sport in John Fitch. And earlier in the evening, we've got Melvin Gallard, the explosive knockout artist, meeting Jay-Z Calvacanti, a guy who at one time was considered the best lightweight in the world. But that alone is enough for everyone and their mother and their mother's mothers and their mother's mother's neighbors to tune in and watch this card.
Awesome. Absolutely love it, Joey. Listen, I'm looking forward to tracking you down Saturday and getting a chance to meet you, man. Looking forward to a great day of fights at World Series of Fighting 11. Thank you again for joining us, man. You have yourself a phenomenal evening.
Hell yeah, brother. And make sure you see me down there, you see me do my thing, stop by, say what's up, we'll take a picture, we'll chat it up, all right?
You got it, man. You have yourself a great night and enjoy it in Daytona.
Right on, brother. Thanks.
I don't even know what to say. There's just I think we should have just ended the episode with him. Should be no further speaking.
Absolutely.
Just a phenomenal night tonight. Thank you. It was. Just awesome guy. Obviously has a lot of energy, and he's really pumped and psyched about this this show Saturday. I want to thank each and every one of our guests tonight. Dustin, Justin, Muhammad Mumuscle, Jason, and, of course, Joey Varner. A lot of great guests, great show. We're looking forward to a great day of fights, World Series of Fighting 11. Kari, as always, thank you for joining me. Spencer will be back next week as we will be talking some XFC, some RFC, and some Combat Night. So it'll be another great episode next week. And if you got nothing else, I'm done. And I think you got anything real quick, do you have any events that you're covering or anything coming up there in your way?
Not at the moment, I don't, but all I wanted to bring up, because it's Florida and you are all ear at all the events.
Oh yeah, Fight Time. Almost forgot.
Yes, Fight Time, letting Thiago Silva fight August 29th. I was curious if you were going to go, if you would go because of this fight, what you thought, period, about him actually fighting again.
I have the intentions of going to Fight Time 20. It is an event I like to cover. It's just I just don't always have the I'm not always able to get down there. I do have the intentions of being there to cover that event because Fight Time puts on great events. I think that Thiago Silva is a very exciting fighter and an awesome guy in the cage. I think outside of the cage, he's got some problems that he has to kind of work out and deal with, and hopefully they can get worked out, they can be dealt with, because I'd hate for a good talent like himself to not be able to continue fighting. I think this is a good pickup for Fight Time Promotions. Looking forward to seeing this fight. I know they his opponent is coming out of, I think he's coming out of the Northwest somewhere. I forget his name. I'll have to look that up. But I think this is a good pickup by Fight Time to get a big-name guy like this. But I also think that I hope all of the outer cage stuff has been worked out so that he can resume what is a very promising fight career. Don't overlook the fact that Mike the Wolverine Rio is also going to be fighting on Fight Time 20, I believe, too. So it's going to be an all-around phenomenal fight card, again, from Fight Time Promotions. So, again, find Jason Arnett at weigh-ins tomorrow at the Hilton. Find him around Daytona. He's a very tall, kind of goofy-looking dude. You can't miss him. But, yeah, so find him. Get free tickets to World Series Fighting 11. I only say that because I'm pretty sure he's still listening.
I was going to say, that's going to get some more fanaties thrown your way, I do believe.
His wife's going to find me and probably kick my ass for that one, so I don't know. But anyways, no, Jason's a good dude. Find him. He's a tall, strapping, handsome man. He's giving out free tickets to what's going to be one of the best pro shows the state's ever seen. So go find him at the weigh-ins. First of all, just go to the weigh-ins. It's going to be there's nothing cooler than being at weigh-ins. You really get to see the fighters laid back. You get to see them having, after they weigh in, they're everyone's kind of a little bit more relaxed, and it's cool. So go find him at the weigh-ins and get some free tickets to a great show. As for great shows, that's going to be it for us tonight. You like that segue? We're an awesome show. But anyway, so again, Kari, thanks for joining. Always up for supporting Team Madhouse. And hopefully my lover, Spencer, can be back next week because I'm always missing him when he's not here. So anyways, check us out, Facebook, Cage Zombies Radio. We're the best thing since sliced bread. And that'll be it. We'll see you guys next week.
a zombie, who I wanna be. Not a wannabe, but a zombie, I know. Insanity, untamable, unchangeable. Zombie, undeniable. Run for your life, run for your life. What? Bon appetit, I got a new appetite. Transform, reborn, love by sanity, rare form. Worldwide.
Thank you.